005A, Supplement, 15th of January, Andrew.
Let's just stay on with these thoughts at this time and just think for a few moments on what's been said to us. It's a long time since anybody has actually ministered on tithing here. When you know the King and you're into the Word of God, you begin to know the principles. And the principles are that you sow seed and that you see God bring an increase on that seed every time. And God, He's no man's debtor. God always rewards those who are faithful and full of faith. There are so many people who go into churches who say, I'm a Christian. Yes, they are. But they're not a disciple. They're not a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a total difference. It's being a follower of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it is so important. These men that were given talents, gifts, it appears to be of money. Jesus is explaining the principle in simple terms to people. That what you've got given to you by God, use it to full effect. If you want a gift from God, then seek the King. One verse of scripture that some of you know I've been just dwelling on for this last few days, in particular, just the last couple few weeks actually, is from Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. And it says, but seek first, in some versions it says, but seek first the kingdom. It's no good going living in a kingdom and not knowing who the King is.
That's right.
You don't get no favours.
Nope.
You need to know the King.
You do.
You need to know the King. And a better translation, I was just been looking this up in the Greek. And the root word kingdom comes from actually the word King, which refers to God or Jesus.
Amen.
So there's a double edge on this. You see, the Word of God always is sharper than a two-edged sword. It's a double-edged sword, this one. And it says, seek ye first. If you look at this in the Greek, it should say, really, seek ye first the King of the kingdom.
Amen.
Which King are you seeking?
Amen.
I hope you are. Just remember, I'm watching you and God's watching you. God's watching each and every one of us. All the time, all day, even when you're asleep. We have angels who protect us and guard us. Hallelujah. But the Word of God says, should say this. It's a slightly weaker translation, but the New American Standard says, seek first the King and His kingdom. You need to know who the King is. You don't need to be. I don't want church attenders. I want disciples. I want people who will be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, that have a passion that burns within them. That says, like the 12 disciples, Lord, no matter what, we will not desert you. No matter what, Lord, we will do this. No matter what, Lord, we're going to do this all the way. And they did, actually. Only Judas failed. But Satan had got hold of him. Do you know why? Because Judas was after just what was in the kingdom. Yeah. He thought in the kingdom there was just gold, and he was just after the gold. He wasn't interested in the King. See, people sometimes come to church because they want something from the church. Emotional strength. These aren't wrong things. Sometimes they come because they want money. Sometimes they come because they want or they need healing. And that's not, none of these things are wrong. All these things are available. But having got all any of those things from God that you're looking for, you've served yourself short. You've served yourself short. Because you see, if you know the King, and you have the security number to the bank account of the King of Kings, what have you got? Everything. Everything. See, Grace knows my bank account details. So she's got everything. Do you see what I mean? Yeah, we do share and we share a lot, yeah. But she knows my bank. We both have a joint bank account. We both know the bank details. We know the information. There's a book here called The Word of God. Gives you secrets to the bank account. Gives you secrets to enter into the presence of the King of Kings and get to know the King personally. You need to get to know the King personally, not just about, not his kingdom. You see, he will tell you about his kingdom when you know him. So you got to get to know the King. So remember, whenever you read your Bible, read it like this. Seek ye first the King, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the King of the kingdom of God. Then all these other things shall be added unto me.
Amen.
So who are you going to seek?
The King.
I said, who are you going to seek?
The King.
You seek the King. Don't just go for a bit of land. Go to the top.
Amen.
You know what happens when you're having trouble with a company? They've sold you something and you get pushed from side to side over the telephone. In the end you say, look, stop messing me about. I need to talk to somebody who has some authority.
Yeah.
And if you get so, and you can go so far on till you get to a point where you say, I need to talk to the director of the company.
Yeah.
I need to talk to the top man.
Yeah.
I've done that, you know. When people have hassled me, in the end I said, listen, put me on to somebody who's in charge. Put me on to the top man, because I'm going to sort this out with him and with him only. And you know, folks, we need to be in touch with the top man. And his name's Jesus. And when you start talking to Jesus, and when you start listening, by the way. Did you catch that? Were you listening? When you start listening to Jesus, he start to tell you things. He'll tell you how to use your talents.
He will.
Tell you how to use those abilities to bring an increase. Like Grace was saying, you know, yeah, I've got 2 motorcycles and I thank God for that. So folks say, well, why do you need 2? Well, it's just one of those things at the moment. I just still like one or the other one so much I won't part with it. But each one that I've bought, it's taken over 2 years before it's down to the value that I bought it for. I consider them bargains. You see, I'm in a situation at the moment where I'm in a win-win. I can sell the last bike I bought and sell it for a profit. Because God will bless you as you constantly give to Him. He said, I'm not going to be in debt to you. God says He's not going to be in debt to you. God will never be in debt to no man. My picture has always been of tithing. I remember many years ago when I was earning a lot of money. And I'd get a pay rise. And I used to have this picture where this big pile of gold in the middle. You know, when they used to come, I don't know if you can ever remember, some of you won't even remember this bit. Years ago, my father was a miner. And part of his wages would be, there would be a ton of coal delivered every so many weeks. And guess what? It was one of my jobs to shift a ton of coal and put it in the coal house. That will be down in your cellar that you're using at the moment. You know that cellar you got? They used to shovel coal down there. Well, we had to barrow mine down the front garden, round to the back and into a building. And I had to barrow a ton of coal and throw it in. But that was part of my dad's wages. Well, I've still got this picture. There's this great big pile. Not a coal, by the way. Or coil. Wherever you're from. But of gold. And there's this big pile of gold. And I'd get my shovel. And I'd dig into this pile of gold that had been dumped in my possession. And I'd throw it over onto another pile, which was God's pile. And I could see me doing this. And here I was, throwing this gold, you know, because this to me was my dream, my interpretation of me giving my tithes to God. And here I was, involved in throwing over. And then all of a sudden, I saw this shovel 7 times bigger than mine. And it dug into that pile of gold that I'd been throwing onto. And suddenly dumped another pile on mine. And I went, oh, there's even more now than what I started with. And God actually gave me increases and increases. It was such a blessing. And I was challenged by that. And I always said that, you know, I would live my life putting God first, giving to God. And so there I was. Well, not there I was, there I am. Still digging in and throwing over to God. And His word never changes. Because He said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same tomorrow. He's the same God. And He said He'd bless me, He'd keep me. But I've got to do my part. Oh, the sheet's gone. Faithfulness, love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, gentleness, hope, obedience, sacrifice. All these terms are terms for a disciple that loves the Lord Jesus. Now I want to encourage you. Put Jesus first. Put the King first. Everything else will fit in place. But it's Jesus first. Jesus first. If He's not first in your life, then He'll probably end up being last. Because other things crowd in. Who has a computer? Hands up. Right. Okay. You've all had this. You go to your computer, you click on, you log in, you get started, wherever, in what program you're working in. Time goes by. And you suddenly look at the screen, or your mother calls you, or your father calls you, or somebody shouts, come on, do you know how long you've been on that computer? You think, I've only been on about half an hour. And guess what? 2 hours just went by like that. You just lost. Believe it or not, you just lost 2 hours of your life. I know it's like, we become slaves to computers. Now they don't run fast enough. They're never fast enough. And you become a slave to this thing. Mine's got to the point where it's that slow. I click on something, walk away and go and do something else. And come back later when it's decided it's got there. It's getting old and decrepit. But in reality, you see, we've got to come to that point where we seek first the King of the Kingdom of God. Don't put Him last. Don't put Him second even, because He will end up becoming last. He needs to be first. I need to put Him first. You need to put Him first. And remember, Mark, the Bible says of the Bible that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. In days of old, go on somebody, in days of old, when knights were bold, thank you. You've all watched Sir Lancelot, King Arthur and all this, Knights of the Round Table. What do they always carry with them?
A sword.
Thank you, Tracy. Sword and a shield. To be a knight, you need a sword. Yep, it's always there. Why do they always have their sword with them? Sorry? In case of going into any danger? Yeah, that's a good reason. Give me another reason. Huh? In case of the enemy?
To kill the enemy,
yes. Because there might be a surprise attack. Yeah? When our soldiers are on patrol, what happens? Are their guns already loaded?
In war.
That's what I mean, in war. In a war situation, are their guns already loaded?
Yeah.
They're made ready. What do they need to do next?
Safety catch off
and squeeze. So it's a one-shot operation, isn't it? Bang. Split second, yeah? Ready. For surprise attack. Which comes from the enemy. The Bible says, Jesus said, the enemy comes to steal, kill and destroy. Oh, and by the way, he doesn't put a banner up and say, excuse me, and next week on the 20th of January, the devil's coming round to your house and he's going to steal from you. He don't put a notice up like that, because if he did, you'd say, okay, I'll make sure I've got the doors locked, bolted and barred, and everything's hidden away, and so he won't be able to come in, I'll be praying at the door. It don't come like that. Comes as a surprise attack. No warning. So, always have your sword ready. The word of God. Not just in your hand, but in your heart. It's one of the first things I do, me. Where's my Bible? If I'm going out and I'm coming to church, where's my Bible? I haven't got my Bible.